I wanted to look at kind of just a certain topic this morning. And the title of the sermon is Dealing with Discouragement. And this is one of my favorite psalms to go to. When you're feeling down and you're like, this is just tough right now. Life is tough and I'm struggling. I'm having a hard time. Psalm 42 is a great place to go. Some of you are in this spot right now where you're feeling down, you're feeling discouraged. There's some things that you want to see happen that aren't happening currently, and you will be in one of these seasons. And so this is going to be good for us to just prepare and say, okay, how can we deal with discouragement in the best way possible? And so let's just read Psalm 42. It says, to the choir master, a maskil of the sons of Korah, as a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they say to me all the day long, where is your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I would go with the throng and lead them in procession to the house of God, with glad shouts and songs of praise, a multitude keeping festival. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. My soul is cast down within me. Therefore, I remember you from the land of Jordan and of Hermon, from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep at the roar of your waterfalls. All your breakers and your waves have gone over me. By day the Lord commands his steadfast love, and at night his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a deadly wound in my bones, my adversaries taunt me, while they say to me all the day long, where is your God? Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. Let's pray. Father, we humble ourselves before you in your word this morning, God. And I just ask, Lord, that you would speak to us through this psalm, that you would meet us where we're at, Lord. We're all in different places. Some of us are currently going through a season where we feel discouraged or we think that it's coming. It's only a matter of time before we do experience this. And so I pray that you would help us to know how to deal with it in the right way, to know how to face it, to walk in it with you. I pray that you'd speak to us through your word this morning, God, that you would change us. I pray you give us hope for those who feel hopeless, that you would just meet us in a powerful way, God. Be lifted up, Lord. Be glorified in our lives. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I was thinking about this as I was preparing, but I was thinking about some of the ways that I kind of cope when I'm discouraged or depressed or kind of down in a funk. And I don't know what you do, but I feel like I've been going to the fridge a little bit lately. Like, I just go to food, you know? Like, I'm like, oh, I'll find comfort in food because it's kind of like an escape. And sometimes it could be Netflix or video games for some of you guys. And or you just go right to people. You're like, you know what? I'm dealing with stuff. I need to talk to people, which isn't a bad thing. It's just we all have our different ways. We all have our different go-tos on what do we do when we're facing discouragement. And I don't just mean like you had a tough day, but I mean like a season of discouragement where you're like, man, I'm just down. I'm not seeing God move in my life. There's this thing that I really am asking God to do that I feel like he's not coming through for me in. These deep struggles that we have, in these seasons where we face discouragement, how do we navigate through these seasons? What's your go-to when you're discouraged? The psalmist here is going to tell us what we're to do when we're discouraged. He's going to kind of walk us through a process and just saying, hey, allow God to come in this space when you're discouraged. We see in verse 1 and 2 that discouraging seasons are an opportunity to experience more of God. Discouraging seasons are an opportunity to experience more of God. Look at what he says in verse 1. As a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? And so the psalmist, right off of the bat, we know that he's down, we know that he's discouraged because of the question in verse 5 and verse 11, where he says, why are you cast down on my soul? Why are you in turmoil within me? And he says in verse 1, he says, hey, this discouraging season is actually an opportunity for me to experience more of God in my life. Now, that's usually not how we view hardships and seasons of discouragement. Sometimes we just wallow in it. We're like, man, poor me, like pity party. Or we have our certain ways of dealing with it. But he wants to give us eyes to see, hey, what can we learn from seasons of discouragement? And what he's saying here is, hey, we need more of God in our lives. Sometimes we're praying that God would change our circumstances or our situation. God, would you just, we're like focused on the destination, right? Like, will you just bring me to this thing or whatever, this kind of job or a relationship or just whatever it is. And I think God is saying, hey, I want to be with you in the process. I'm actually doing something in you in the process. And he's drawing out this desire that we would seek him, that we would realize that our lack is fully met in who God is. Yeah, maybe you don't have that thing that you want, but maybe God is wanting to teach you how to wait upon him. Maybe he's working as you're waiting on him and saying, hey, you're not in control, right? When things hit the fan, it shows us, hey, you have this illusion of control, but you're really not. All of our lives could change in one day. One phone call, one doctor visit, they're saying, hey, you have this, and your life is forever changed. And these things are happening in our community and in people who, the lives of people we love. And so I think it's important for us to know, let's get the tools to know, how do we walk through discouragement with God? Allow your need to push you into God. He's saying, our souls are thirsty. You're going to drink from somewhere, right? I was at my brother's house last night, and he's always like chips and soda guy, you know? Like, we weren't really raised, you know, going to Trader Joe's, eating like organic food. So it's funny seeing when I'm with my wife, she's more like, a little more healthy, you know? So I'm there, he's like, hey, you want a Coke? Yeah, okay, chips, cool. And I'm looking at like the, like, what's on the Coke bottle? You know how they have to put like how much sugar's in it now for the whole bottle, not just a serving. And it's like 110% sugar, like daily intake. I'm like, man, this is bad, but it tastes so good. But we all have these different things that we crave. We all have these different thirsts, right? And we think, okay, like for me, being raised on that, that's like normal for me. For other people, you're like, you wouldn't ever touch a soda. Like, that's poison, man. We all have thirsty souls. And we all desire certain things, and we think, oh, this will meet my need. This will quench my thirst. And what we find is that those things just leave us wanting something else. We go, we drink from the well of relationships. We say, well, people just aren't there for me. If people just were more friendly or they were just listen to me more, then I would be okay. But sometimes people can't give you what only God alone can give you. Sometimes God wants to meet you in a way that these people, they might not understand you. People might not understand exactly what you're going through, but God always does. If you drink from the well of money, how much money do you need to be happy? Some of you are trying to figure that out. What's the bracket for you? If I just make this much money, then I'll be happy. I guarantee you, it's only a matter of time before you're saying, no, just 10% more, maybe just a little bit more. It's difficult for us to be satisfied when we drink from the well of money. There's power. Some of you want power. Some of you want ministry success. If I just drink from the well of ministry success, if my ministry is successful, if I'm doing good things for God, that's what I'm going to thrive off of. That's the cup that I'm going to drink. And what the psalmist says here is, you know what? Everything thirsty in me, like I'm thirsty for God, and I want to experience him as the living God. And what he's saying is like, he's not really sensing God as the living God. It's not that he doesn't believe in God, but his experience is not really lining up with that truth. I'm thirsty for God. Where are you? When shall I come and appear before God? I want to see God. The Jews in Exodus 23:17, it says that they were required to go to Jerusalem 3 times a year to celebrate the major festivals. And it seems as if for some reason the psalmist was not able to make it to one of these festivals. And he's going to go on and talk about that a little bit more. But his desire is like, I want to see the living God. I want to appear before God. In the next section, in verses 3 and 4, I want us to see that discouraging seasons can push us to be honest about our struggles. Discouraging seasons can push us to be honest about our struggles. Look at what he says in verse 3. Look at his honesty. He says, "My tears have been my food day and night. While they say to me all day long, 'Where is your God?' These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I would go with the throng and lead them in procession to the house of God, with glad shouts and songs of praise, a multitude keeping festival." I love his honesty here. And I think this is a good word for us. We are the body of Christ. We are brothers and sisters in the Lord. And this is a privilege we have to walk alongside each other. And so when we ask each other, "Hey, brother, hey, sister, how are you?" I think sometimes we're not as honest as we could be. But when we're in seasons of discouragement like this, it tends to push us there to be a little bit more honest. You know what I'm saying? Like, we're like, okay, I can't really just fake it because I'm hurting right now. I need help. And these discouraging seasons can be used by God to help push us to be honest with each other. And I think God is glorified as you and I are being honest about where we're at with him. We want to be honest with ourselves. We want to be honest with God. And we want to be honest with each other. And I think it's an act of humility that says, hey, I'm not okay. This guy's like, I'm crying day and night. He's not trying to be dramatic. He's just trying to be honest. Like, I'm very sad. I'm broken. But I think in our brokenness and in our humility and saying, Lord, I am not okay, that's where God meets us and says that God gives grace to the humble. He gives us grace in our time of need. The psalmist can't see God in the way he wants to. He's crying. He's like, my enemies are taunting me. They're questioning, where is your God? It's almost as it looks as if God has forsaken him, because would his enemies say, hey, where is your God? Unless it looked like God has forsaken him. And sometimes we feel this. You hear those voices saying, hey, God doesn't care about you. If he did, he would do this. There's this voice that says, hey, you can't trust in the Lord. How come you're dealing with this? How come he didn't come through in this way? And we need to battle those lies with the truth of God's word. In verse 4, it says that he pours out his soul. He remembers how things used to be. Notice, this guy, it sounds like he was a worship leader at one time. He was leading the procession to the house of God with glad shouts and songs of praise. And it's almost like his heart is aching as he remembers what was. The joy of leading God's people in worship. The joy of the good old days. Thinking, man, I've seen God work mighty. He's done great things in my life. But now, there's nothing. Now, I'm in a barren wilderness. His joyful songs are now being replaced with tears of sorrow. His memory of the good times add to his current heartache as he's realized all that he's lost. Have you ever felt this way before? As some of you look back on your life and you see, man, I remember those days where God was moving, where I was passionate about his kingdom, where I couldn't put down the Bible, where prayer was just natural, and now I feel lukewarm. I don't see God breaking through. I don't see him bringing victory. There's no passion in my relationship with the Lord. And I think we have to allow the past and how God's moved in the past to give us fuel to trust him in the present and even in the future to say, you know what? God has worked in my life in the past and he's promised that he's going to complete the work that he began. He's not like, hey, your best days are behind you. Like when you came to the Lord, they're back there. He's like, no, the best days are ahead of you. There's always room to grow. There's always more passion that the Lord wants to pour out in us. And so can we have these hearts that say, Lord, that are honest and say, Father, I'm going to be honest with you. I am not there, but I want to be there. Like, would you take me there? And I think God is so honored as we're honest with him about our heart's condition. We say, you know what? I'm not moved by you. These truths don't move me like they used to. But I want to feel that. I want to seek you. And I think if we do that, we're going to be pleasantly surprised to see God move in our lives. I love that song. We sing it sometimes. It says, you made a way where there was no way. And I believe I'll see you do it again. I love that because it's like, you know what? This guy's saying, hey, you know what? You did it. You were faithful and you came into our lives when we were far from you. You made a way and I believe that you're going to do it again. I believe that there's still things to come that you want to do. I want to read you a couple verses from Isaiah 43, verses 18 and 19. And I believe that this is a word for some of you this morning, and I would just love to, man, this is one of my favorite scriptures, but it says this. Remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness, rivers in the desert. And I love how God speaks through Isaiah in these verses. He says, hey, don't remember the former things. Obviously, remember the good things that God has done, but don't live in the past in this way where it's unhealthy, where you're saying, oh, I'm stuck living in the past. Don't limit God to how he's worked in the past, nor consider things of old, because God says, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? We need perception. We need eyes to see what God wants to do in our generation. We don't want to look back, you guys, like 5 or 10, 20 years from now and say, what could have been if we would have been all in for the Lord? What would have God done if I would have surrendered my life to him? If we would have really gotten serious about the things of God? And churches begin to die a slow death when they start living in the past, as if our best days are before us. That was 5, 10 years ago. And now it's kind of just like, we'll just coast. I think God has so much more for us than that, and I've seen this in some of you, and it fires me up. I love talking with you guys because I'm like, I see that passion there and the heart to do it. You might not be there all the time. I'm not there all the time, but I think that's why we're called to come alongside each other, to encourage one another, to stir each other up to love and good works. The last thing I want to look at is in verses 5 through 11. Verses 5 through 11, and that's that discouraging seasons can teach us how to encourage ourselves in the Lord. Discouraging seasons can teach us how to encourage ourselves in the Lord. Sometimes there's going to be nothing that someone can tell you that will help to encourage you. Like, I don't know if you've experienced that before, but like, you're like, man, no one can tell me anything that's going to help encourage me. And I think this is a skill that we need to learn. And how do we encourage ourselves in the Lord? And I think the psalmist does this in verse 5. In verse 11, he repeats it. But look at what he does in verse 5. He asks this question, "Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me?" He looks inward. Right? He didn't just start there, though. He starts with his thirst for God, and then he gets to, hey, okay, I want to be real about how I'm doing. I want to get to the root of the problem. Sometimes people, it's hard for us, you know? I'll meet with some people, and I'm like, man, I'm trying to figure out what's at the root, but this might be something that God actually says, hey, I want you to grow in this, in questioning your own soul. This is an interesting thing, because it's like the psalmist is talking to himself. Why are you cast down, O my soul? Like, we all do this. We don't really do it in this way, but we all kind of talk to ourselves. We tell ourselves things about things that happen to us. Even now, you're like, dude, I don't talk to myself. Like, there's a constant like conversation going on, right, in the mind about, hey, this happened to me, and you're telling yourself something about God, about yourself, about people. And he questions here. He says, hey, what's going on inside? Why are you cast down on my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? What's at the root of the issue here? He questions himself, but then he also preaches to himself. He says, hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. Some of us, we just stay in the questioning stage. We just camp out there. Why, God? Why would you let this happen? Why is this happening to me? But the psalmist doesn't stay there, but he allows his questions to bring him to God, and he preaches the truth of God's word to his heart. You know what? It's an issue of hope. Hope in God. For I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. I love what King David says in Psalm 103, verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. I love what he does here because he's using similar language, right? He's speaking to his soul, and David here says, hey, bless the Lord. Like, I have to make this conscious decision to praise God. It's not always that it comes natural. Many of you know, as we're singing this morning, sometimes you don't feel like singing, right? There's going to be times where you can't help but worship God. You can't help but sing to the Lord. But there's going to be other times when you're in the season of discouragement where it's like, I don't even feel genuine in singing because I feel like my heart's not matching up with what's coming out of my mouth. And the scripture would call this a sacrifice of praise to God. In Hebrews 13, verse 15, it says about Jesus, through him, then let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. And sometimes worship is a sacrifice. Job experienced this as well. Job lost pretty much everything. And it says, what did he do? He bowed down and worshiped God. It's interesting how we can tell a lot by how we worship what's kind of attached to our relationship to God. Because what Satan was begging on when Job, you know, he brought this destruction and God allowed it to happen, what he was banking on was saying, hey, Job's just following you, God, for the benefits. Job's just following you because you bless him. Who wouldn't want a God who's like blessing you with like a lot of wealth and good things and kids, and but you take some of that away, Job will deny you. And God said, no, I don't think so. And what does Job do? He worships before the Lord. And maybe this morning, for some of you, as we come and as Nathan comes up to lead worship, maybe this is going to be more of a sacrifice for you. Maybe this is your time. So just be honest with God where you're at. Say, Lord, I am struggling. I am lukewarm. I do think there's a season of discouragement coming, or I'm currently in that. But I want to praise your name. I want to worship you. Even though I don't feel it, by faith, I want to offer up the sacrifice of praise to you. And ultimately, we look to Jesus, right? We have to look to Jesus. Look at how Jesus endured. Look at how Jesus suffered for you. And in Hebrews 13, it says that we're to consider Jesus lest we become weary and discouraged in our souls. Consider Jesus. We look at how Jesus went to the cross for us. We look at how he poured his life out on the cross so that we might drink of the living water. We might have eternal life. The one who experienced the ultimate thirst on the cross, who cried out, I thirst, so that you and I would never be thirsty. He knows what it's like to be in the wilderness. He knows what it's like to be forsaken. The psalmist here felt forsaken, but Jesus was actually forsaken for you and me. He entered our world and he experienced these things. He can relate to us. If no one else understands you this morning, know that Jesus understands you. He knows exactly where you're at. He loves you. He's working in the process. He will never leave you. He'll never forsake you. If you need prayer this morning, we'd love to pray for you after the service. And pray that God would give you hope in him. Let's pray.